Would it be a surprise to you this morning if I told you that I do not want you to join my church? Preachers frequently say, "Come join my church." In the South, a lot of times you will drive along and see billboards or bumper stickers or signs that read, "Join the church of your choice," or "Attend the church of your choice Sunday." But would it surprise you this morning that I don't want you to join my church, and I don't want you to join the church of your choice? That may sound different to you this morning, but please stay with me for the next few minutes as we study from God's Word to see why it is that I don't want you to do those things. We're glad that you've joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that our Bible study will be encouraging to you. This past May in 2020, I would have been preaching 36 years. And in that time, I've never asked anyone to join my church. Nor have I ever preached that anyone should join the church of your choice. And I want to talk about why that is this morning. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm not trying to be mean when I say I don't have a church that anyone can join. The church that I have tried to be a part of and want to be a part of and want to faithfully be a part of in the future is that which is found in the New Testament. And the church that I want to be a part of and that I've preached for so many years belongs to someone else. And that someone else is Jesus Christ, who is its founder some 2,000 years ago. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, "Upon this rock," that is Peter's confession of him, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, "upon this rock," this bedrock, this foundation statement of Christ's deity and divinity, "on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Jesus owns his church. He died for it. He shed his own blood for it. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it belongs to him. And whether we're talking about all Christians everywhere or local churches of assemblies of Christians, like in Revelation chapter 2 through 3, what we call the seven churches of Asia, they all belong, people, churches, people, not a building. Those people belong to Jesus. He paid the price. He shed his blood for it. I've already mentioned Acts 20, verse 28, Ephesians 5, 25. He gave himself up for it. He is the foundation of it. No other foundation can be laid. 1 Corinthians 3, 11. He is the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2, 20 and 1 Peter 2, 5 and 6. He is its head. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. The church is his bride, Ephesians 5, 21 following. She wears his name, just like a bride wears the name of her husband. She wears his name. Churches were churches of Christ, Romans 16, verse 16, in addition to other ways in which they were described. And so, first of all, I don't want you to join my church because it doesn't belong to me. Now, I understand what people mean by that and preachers mean by that. They mean, I want you to come be a part of a group where I preach. And so they're using my in that sense, and I understand that. I don't know of any preacher who claims that he built the church, Matthew 16, verse 18. But that language diverts our attention away from the person that we need to be focusing on when we say, I want you to join my church. It gets us off on the wrong foot with regard to true New Testament Christianity. We must always be calling people to focus on Jesus, obeying Jesus, doing what Jesus says, meeting his conditions, his requirements, calling themselves after his name, Christian, meaning follower of Christ. It keeps the attention on Christ, and that's where you get your true undenominational Christianity. Anything else is focused on man, and that's where you're starting to get your denominational thinking. So, I want to talk a little bit this morning about this statement, join my church or join the church of your choice. And then I want to close this evening by saying, or this morning rather, by saying, I want you to choose the church of God's choice or Christ's choice. So it's not my church. We've already established that. Jesus said, my church, Matthew 16, 18. And I don't want you to join the church of your choice. This is another common statement. You'll see attend the church of your choice or join the church of your choice. Have you ever stopped to think about that idea of joining something? And because it's popular in our thinking today, we think that it has to do with the Lord's church. When in fact, it doesn't work like that. We actually have to meet some conditions first, and then we're selected to be a part of that. And God does that. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 in the King James, the Lord added to the church daily those who were saved. The Lord added to the church daily those who were saved. They met some conditions laid down by Peter in the preaching of that sermon in Acts chapter 2, and then the Lord added to them. They didn't join anything. They obeyed what Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. When they did that, the Lord added to them. Here's some examples. A student, a high school student, cannot just simply say, I think I'll join the National Honor Society, and you just go join it. It doesn't work like that. The student must first qualify and meet the qualifications and the terms of that particular group and be invited by one of its representatives to be a part of that. You don't just simply join it and automatically get in. A baseball player or a football player or a basketball player, if you want to be on a team, you don't just simply say, I'm going to go join the football team. I'm going to go join the basketball team or the baseball team. You have to be selected for that. There has to be tryouts. Otherwise, the entire school could be on the baseball team, the basketball team, or the football team, or any other group. You have to meet some conditions and qualifications, and you have to try out. Because the team is a select group, there have to be certain conditions to be in that. And so, one is selected for the National Honor Society or the baseball team, having qualified for that. In a similar way, a sinner cannot just simply say, I'm going to join a church. The scripture does not speak of joining a church, but God adding members to it. And I've already mentioned Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. And this adding to the Lord's church is not done by the preacher. It's not done by me. It's not done by any of the individual members of the church. It's not done by voting. It's not done by asking anybody or meeting before a committee. It's done when a sinner meets the conditions that the Lord has laid down there. And I mentioned Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. Only the Lord decides who is in his membership. And I would encourage anyone not to join the church of your choice, but to meet the conditions that the Lord has given. And when we do that, we have the promise that the Lord will add us to his body. Somebody says, well, joining the church of your choice just means that you pick a church in your area. And I understand that that's what people mean by it. And it is true that after we become a Christian by repenting and being baptized, it is true that we need to find and seek other Christians to work and worship with. And we do find an example of that in Acts chapter 9 when Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, when he was baptized into Christ, Acts chapter 9, verse 18, the Lord added him to the body of Christ, but he wanted to work and worship with other Christians in Jerusalem after he left Damascus. And we read about that in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. When he was come to Jerusalem, he essayed or attempted to join himself to the disciples. And he needed Barnabas' help to do that because they didn't know about the change that he had made from persecuting the church to preaching the church. He made a change. They didn't know that, and Barnabas had to help them understand that. But he wanted to join himself to the disciples. And so, in that sense, after the Lord adds us to his body, we select where we want to work and worship with other Christians. But that's not what is commonly meant by that expression, joining. It means that men and women mean it today to mean just simply that you're a sinner and you join a church and get saved. We don't find that in the New Testament. It is true that Christians must find other Christians to work and worship with. But the phrase, choose the church of your choice or worship in the church of your choice, is more of what we might call a consumer approach to religion. Like driving around the community, choosing a restaurant to go to, or choosing a store to shop at, or choosing a car dealership to buy a car. It's a consumer approach where you shop around in religion and you look for a group that is close to your house, or that is friendly, or that has young people, or that has singles groups, or that has social and recreational activities, or has a gymnasium, or has Mother's Day out, or has this, or has that, and it's like shopping around. In fact, I know that to be the case because I've often got calls through the years at the church building, at the office, where somebody will call and they will say, do you have such and such program? Or do you have such and such facility? They're calling to see if the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ has a particular thing that would suit their needs. If they do, they'll think about joining. If they don't, they'll go somewhere else. It's a consumer-oriented approach to religion, and you don't have that in the Word of God. It's like picking your favorite flavor of ice cream. My favorite flavor at Baskin-Robbins is Jamocha Almond Fudge. I love Jamocha Almond Fudge ice cream. And when I go in there, I choose that over other flavors But that's not how we're to assess our relationship with God. The church is not a store or a restaurant or a car dealership or an ice cream flavor. It's a relationship that we have with Christ when we first meet the conditions, and He adds us if we have met those conditions, and He does not if we do not meet those conditions. Some people will choose the church of their choice based upon inconsequential factors, things that don't matter. For example, how long does it take to get to that particular church building? Do they have a daycare? Do they have programs I like? Do they have a preacher that preaches it the way that I like? And a lot of times it has to do with location or the way the building looks. Are the pews comfortable? Is it air conditioned and heated? Is it close to my home? And friends, not to be mean, but that is not the way we make spiritual decisions in life. Others might use more spiritual criteria, but still it's not according to the scripture. Does this church have a worship style that appeals to me? Does it have a female minister? Is it soft on sin and light on doctrine? Do they accept homosexual marriages? Are the sermons short and sweet? And I've been asked before from time to time through the years to shorten my sermons. That is a big deal with some people. Is the music good? Does it have a well-known minister? Does he tell stories? Does he tell jokes? Does he make me feel good? And a lot of things like that. But again, we don't find those types of things in the New Testament church. So we just need to understand and be honest with the situation that a lot of times with regard to religion, people are approaching that with a consumer-oriented approach. And we do not need to do that. That's fine if we're talking about a restaurant or a store or ice cream, but it's not fine with regard to the Lord's church. And like I mentioned earlier, if we approach this from the standpoint of my church or your choice, it really is a misplaced focus. Our first concern should be to find the church of God's choice. And it probably has not occurred to a lot of people that a man-made church can be, quote, open for business and not really have a license from God to be doing that. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes businesses will be open, but they don't have the right license. And so the health department comes and shuts them down. They're not clean. Maybe somebody is selling liquor, but they don't have a liquor license. Maybe somebody is open for business and they're using undocumented workers, illegal aliens, and the TBI or Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearm Department, ATF, will come in, or ICE will come in, or Border Patrol will come in and raid the business and shut it down. Have you ever thought about that with regard to religion? We wouldn't maybe think about that, but that's what's going on. Churches are, quote, open for business, but God has not given them the license to be open for business. They claim to be associated with Christ, but they are unassociated with Him because they're not following His word or will. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:21-23, that just saying, Lord, Lord, does not make them right with God. They were not doing the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is laid out on the pages of the New Testament. Christ has never given anyone the prerogative to set up his own church, and yet we have hundreds and thousands of churches today that are not the New Testament church. And sometimes people will open up churches and it's kind of like somebody wanting to open up a franchise. If I want to open up a Chick-fil-A franchise, I have to set it up exactly the way the owner wants it set up. I can't just set up any old chicken restaurant and then put Chick-fil-A on the outside. And there are people who set up churches and they say, well, this is Christ's church, when it's really not. It does not teach the doctrine or the worship or the plan of salvation or the organization found in the New Testament. And so it's like a knockoff. And if I opened up a restaurant in Clarksville and I put Chick-fil-A out front and tried to be a chicken restaurant just on my own, it's close, but not exactly the same, that company's going to come and shut me down. I cannot use their name and make it look like a Chick-fil-A when it's really not. And that's what's going to happen at the end of time. Jesus said in that same passage, Matthew 7:21-23, that in the judgment day, he's going to say, I never knew you, you who work lawlessness. So we've got to be very careful about that. And there's a lot of that going on. So there are people who are open for business that don't have a license to be religiously. There are people who claim to be a franchise of Christ's original church, but it's not. So we've got to be very careful about that. So that's why I never tell anyone to join my church. Number one, it doesn't belong to me. And number two, I don't ever tell anybody, join the church of your choice, because that sets them up for a misplaced focus and this consumer approach to religion, which is not the right way to do it. And so I simply want to tell people to meet the conditions laid down by God in the New Testament, and he will add you to his church. And make sure that it matches the one that you read about in the New Testament. Does it teach the true New Testament gospel? Does it truly follow God's word? Are they named the way that Christians are named in the New Testament? Is the worship the same? Is the plan of salvation the same? Is the organization the same? Is the work the same? And the only way you can know that is to take your Bible and read along. And like the Bereans in Acts 17:11, test all things. Examine the scriptures daily to see if what we're saying is so. Test all things. Hold fast that which is good, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. And so people today may or may not be truly the Lord's church. You have to do some investigation and some reading of your Bible. Jesus said, take heed that you be not deceived. Luke 21:8. John 1 John 4:1, many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so you have to test those things that are being said. One reason why we want to have the Let the Bible Speak program every week is to test those things that are going on in the religious world. And we want to test ourselves. And I would call upon you to contact us if I ever say anything that is not according to the New Testament church. Please bring that to my attention. I don't ever want to do that. I want people simply to be members of the Lord's church. And that brings me to my last point this morning. I want you to choose the church of God's choice or the church of Christ's choice. I don't want to discourage you from making this very important decision in your life. I want to encourage you, however, to follow Jesus and become a part of his church. It's vital, actually, to be a member of Christ's church for salvation. It's very vital. And if you look at that sermon in Acts chapter 2, if you'll turn with me there, in Acts chapter 2, Peter's sermon, first of all, convinced many that they had crucified Jesus Christ and had killed God's Son, chapter 2, 22 through 36. They desired to be forgiven because they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Acts 2:37, and that's a great way to begin this process of being a member of the Lord's church. What must I do to be saved? Peter answered, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2:38. Then we find that many gladly received his word, and they were baptized. About 3,000 souls were added to them, Acts 2:41. And again, we find this idea of being added to the Lord's body. There were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls, and then later in verse 47, how that God added them together. There was no voting, there was no joining the church of your choice or anything like that. There were no man-made denominations, by the way, at that time to join. Those came on hundreds of years later. Then we find in verse 42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and other things. They did not want to go off and do something else other than what the Lord was teaching. So having received remission of sins and being added by God to the church upon their baptism, God added these new children to the Lord's church. They were born again, John 3, 3 through 5. And they were members of Christ's church. If God adds all those who he saves, then all Christians are church members and they are saved inside the church. There are no saved people outside the church. The church does not save, the church is the saved. Church membership is not a means of salvation, it's the result of being saved upon repentance and baptism and confession that Jesus is the Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Stated another way, we must be in Christ and in his church in order to be saved. All spiritual blessings are in him, Ephesians 1, 3. And we are baptized into Christ, Galatians 3, 27, which is identical to being in the church, in the body, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. No one can be saved outside the Lord's church. The church is not the Savior. Christ is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5, 23. So it's vital to choose Christ's church and be a member of it. I thank you, friends, for listening to us this morning. I will not call you to be a member of my church. I will call you as ardently and seriously as I can to be a member of Christ's church. Be a member of the church that God and Christ want you to be a member of. And if I can help you to do that, please contact me and we'll study and we will baptize you into the body of Christ. Thank you for being with us this morning on the program and have a good day.